And the administration committee meeting will now begin. For the record, this is a virtual meeting and all board members and participants are by telephone. For the record, I will now take roll call. Board Member Morocco?
Here.
Board Member Adams?
Here.
Board Member Gordon?
Here.
Board Member Ashmani? She'll be joining shortly. Board Member Rasmussen?
Here.
Thank you. And Board Member Greaves is absent at today's meeting. Board members, at this time, we will ask for public comments on the agenda. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to provide comments. The first speaker is Sally Geller.
Good morning. Sally Jane Geller, the Legislative Communications Director for the Lackawanna Coalition. We realize that the loss of revenue for New Jersey Transit has been dramatic, largely due to decreased demand and ridership. In addition, because all employees who can are working from home, you've incurred expenses for new technology, as well as for purchasing personal protective equipment and cleaning supplies. At the same time, the revenue has been reduced by 90% to 98%. Thus, we're concerned about the source of funding for the many capital projects being planned. The FRA is allowing capital money to go to operations during this time, which is both appropriate and beneficial, but leaves a big hole in the capital budget. We recommend that you impose a moratorium on capital projects until you determine what money will be available, as other transit agencies have done, are doing. In addition, the future is sure to be somewhat different. As our region slowly reopens, it is to be expected that those who are able will continue to work from home at least part-time, some because of their ongoing concerns about contracting the virus, others because they find that they actually accomplish more without office distraction, at least part of the time. We hope that you are considering adjusting schedules to what is likely to include less concentrated peak hours, more distributed ridership.
Thank you. The next speaker is Joseph Clift.
Good morning, Joseph Clift. First, it would be good to see a monthly report of your operating performance. On page 4, you have year-to-date, budget versus actual, and year over year, but there's no monthly. I believe that used to be done, but it would be very useful to see monthly against budget and year to year. There's a try to do it in the graphs, but just a simple table would be useful. Secondly, please post the May 12th letter requesting $1.2 billion from the federal government, the additional $1.2 billion. I can't find it on the website. It was mentioned in the earlier committee meeting. Any analysis that backs up that $1.2 billion should also be posted. And last, given the risk of reduced sources of income from tax sources, it would be useful to see before this committee some analysis of fuel taxes. What's happening with the fuel taxes? How will that impact the bottom line that's available for New Jersey Transit? $129 million a year is coming from the Turnpike Authority, so toll revenues. But seeing those forecasts would help this committee look into the future and think now about changes that need to be done. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Board members, there are no further speakers. Next is the financial update, Jeff Bernstein.
Thank you and good morning. With this monthly report, we continue the slightly different format as we present pertinent details regarding COVID-19 related impacts, which began in mid-March. Additional details not presented can be found in the appendix. Through the 10 months ending April 30th, 2020, New Jersey Transit's net loss from operations was $72.1 million, plus a $2.4 million loss related to the timing of reimbursable project revenue. This compares to last year, where we reported a $4.3 million gain from operations and a $4.2 million loss due to the timing of reimbursable project revenue. This also compares to last month, where we reported a $200,000 loss from operations. Compared to budget, net income from operations is unfavorable by $74 million. This includes unfavorable operating revenue of $95.1 million, being partially offset by expenses being favorable to budget by $21.1 million. Passenger revenue is $97 million, or 11.9% below budget, and has been significantly impacted by the dramatic reductions in ridership due to the COVID-19 pandemic. On a year-to-date basis, revenue from rail operations is $61.5 million lower than budget, or 12.8%. Revenue from bus operations is $33 million, or 10.4% lower than budget. And revenue from light rail operations is $2.5 million, or 13.2% lower than budget. On a monthly basis, all revenue across all modes has experienced steep and substantial declines, which will be discussed in detail on a later slide. With regard to other operating revenue, we are analyzing reserves for bad debt. Approximately 70 of our partners have asked for rent deferments. On the expense side, labor and fringe expenses are favorable by $9.5 million, or 0.8%. The month-over-month increase in the favorable variance is mainly due to lower overtime paid during reduced schedules and, to a lesser degree, continued savings due to vacancies. Purchase transportation costs are $8.6 million, or 4.6% below budget. The $2.9 million increase in favorable variance month-over-month was primarily due to access link usage declines due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which reached a low of 75% in mid-April. We anticipate that this trend will continue through May and beyond, although not to the same extent as access link usage has begun to slightly increase in May. Other expenses are favorable by $3 million, or 0.6%. Increased spending has continued this month with COVID-19-related expenditures, specifically PPE like gloves, masks, and as well as cleaning supplies are reflected here. We expect to see a slight increase in these costs as the month of May progresses, and we'll report back again next month. The next slide reports the monthly variance to budget of selected major items. The major takeaway from this slide is the illustration of the effect that the COVID-19 pandemic has had on our passenger revenue. Passenger revenue was $77 million lower than the prior month, resulting from over 90 to 98% decreases in ridership over the last month. The next slide further illustrates the precipitous revenue and ridership declines throughout the month of April. Steep declines began in mid-March as work from home and social distancing guidelines began to be implemented. The declines reached 91% and 96% at the end of March for bus and rail, respectively, and reached declines of 90% for bus and 98% at the end of April. By the end of April, rail weekday sales slumped from just over $1 million a day to only $24,000 a day on average, and bus weekday sales were down from about $500,000 a day to also a little bit less than $40,000 a day. Monthly ticket refund requests in April were 40% above our normal refund rate. This is mainly due to tickets which were purchased through WageWorks and Water Commute, which those are processed in mid-March, many of which pre-pandemic, and then they were refunded in April, most of them prior to use. Again, on the monthly tickets, April 2020 monthly ticket sales were 90% and 98% below April 2019 sales for bus and rail, respectively. And similarly, May 2020 monthly ticket sales were approximately 87% and 95% below May 2019 sales for bus and rail, respectively. Those numbers remove the impacts from the bulk ticket sales through WageWorks and Wire Commute. Just the ever so slightly slight increase in our sales in May, though, is indicative of small, however noticeable, recent ridership increases that we've detected on both bus and rail. The next slide. Our operating cash balance at April 30th, 2020 was $240.3 million, a $125.3 million increase from March. This increase was primarily due to a pre-planned drawdown of $100 million on the line of credit. As a result of that $100 million drawdown, on April 30th, 2020, we had $215 million outstanding out of $300 million available on the credit facility. Our corresponding long-term debt balance was $1,266 million. The next slide. To further elaborate on New Jersey Transit's cash position and liquidity, our current cash on hand, combined with funds available through the CARES Act, should be sufficient to cover our normal operating expenses into 2021, with daily cash outlays of between $8.5 million and $10 million. How far into 2021 will be determined by the pace of recovery in both Farebox and non-Farebox revenue, as well as the level of state support received, all of which are currently uncertain. Last week, we initiated the first drawdown of CARES Act funding and have received $200 million so far. The following highlights are from the actions we're taking to maintain and strengthen our cash position. We are monitoring our cash balances daily and working with our vendors to ensure they are paid within the terms of their respective contracts, however, not earlier than contractually required. As previously mentioned, we have drawn down $200 million of our CARES Act allocation and will continue to draw down as necessary for liquidity and as we incur eligible expenses. And lastly, in addition to with the CARES Act grant process completed, we are increasingly focused on pursuing other potential reimbursement opportunities, particularly with FEMA, for eligible expenses. Thank you. That concludes my report. Take any questions.
Thank you, Jeff. Board Member Morocco, any questions or comments?
Could you expand a little bit on the other reimbursement opportunities with FEMA that you're looking at?
Sure. As the state of emergency has been declared in New Jersey, there are some purchases and some expenditures that we have incurred, which fall under the eligibility criteria for reimbursement through FEMA. The reimbursement is not at 100%, but partial reimbursement through FEMA. We are combing through literally every line of our expenses and the eligibility requirements to determine if there are good fits where FEMA funding could be available. We intend to pursue those.
What are the general categories that you're looking for as you go line by line?
A really good example would be PPE, and cleaning supplies. And first and foremost, those are purchases and expenditures we would not have incurred otherwise, and are specifically purchased in order to ensure everyone's safety and as part of our response to COVID-19. There are other more further examples we can provide if you need. But.
No. I was just curious as to the broad categories. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Board member, as Bill Vaccaro, generally speaking, with FEMA, it's going to be much more limited than the CARES Act and limited to direct expenses directly related to COVID spending, as Jeff mentioned, like PPE.
Thank you.
Board member Adams, any questions or comments?
No questions or comments, Joyce.
Okay. Board Member Gordon, any questions or comments?
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Jeff, for an excellent report. I'd like to just follow up on that FEMA issue. I assume we're talking about the public assistance program under the Stafford Act. And you know, during my checkered career, I had an emergency management consulting firm, and one of the things we would do, this was after Hurricane Floyd, we completed applications for reimbursement under this program. And the only thing I would tell you is it's really important to if you can, to get some outside assistance with this. It's very important to have someone who can cite FEMA decisions that may have been made elsewhere in the country to justify reimbursement for a particular item, because you're often dealing with someone from FEMA in the local region, and they'll tell you that something's not eligible for your reimbursement. And it's helpful to be able to say, well, in California, you just approved a similar request. And you can really up your reimbursement rate by doing that. So I would just share that with you and suggest that you keep that in mind. Thank you.
Board, Board Member Gordon, this is Bill Vicarigan. Thank you for the suggestion, and we actually have retained an outside firm for all the reasons you articulated. In this case, the firm has not only experience with FEMA, extensive experience with Sandy reimbursements, as well as working with New Jersey Transit through that. We'll be relying on their expertise substantially to make sure we're not missing opportunities for reimbursement.
Oh, that's great. Excellent.
Board Member Rasmussen, any questions or comments?
No questions, no comments. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you. Board members, that concludes the agenda for the Administration Committee. You may disconnect your telephone line. Thank you.